The initial thrust of my comments today are a function of my observation of Purim. And even though these observations already are over a course of many, many years, but every Purim, it is chozer v'neyar, to use Yerodea terms. Once again, it comes back to the fore, and I think the message I'm trying to get across today is one which is a subtle message, a nuanced kind of message, and it's going to basically revolve around a Ben Torah. In order for one to be a Ben Torah, an authentic Ben Torah, one has to somehow navigate a lot of shoals. And there are many dialectical positions that one has to also be cognizant of that I will discuss momentarily. I'll just tell you initially what my reaction is. A number of alabatim from my new shul the last year and a half, who just recently came to Eretz Yisrael the last year or so, so they saw what was happening in the streets of Beit Shemesh, of Yerushalayim, on Tezvav, Beit Shemesh on Yudalit, and not all of it was of a nature which somehow they felt was appropriate, and they asked me about it. There are also, someone showed me, someone from Shana Aleph, who's not here right now, but he showed me the, somehow, I don't know exactly, one of these sites would speak about all these insane, lavish parties that take place on Purim, including in from areas in Flatbush and Borough Park and Lakewood and all over, and people getting, what's the term that they used? People getting toasted. That was the lashon that they used. I like that lashon. People getting toasted, otherwise known as inebriated, and what have you, enacting in a fashion which was leaves a lot to be desired, and often brawls that break out. I myself witnessed the following on Purim, Purim Yudalit, which is my Purim, not yours. Mine was on Thursday, yours was on Friday, where I was attempting to get back after I delivered Shacharonos, attempting to get back into my home, and then a whole bunch of Yeshiva Bachim jumped in my car. I'm not sure exactly why. I guess Merov Simcha, I imagine. And one of them even almost broke my windshield. I guess it also Merov Simcha. It's based on a text in Sukkah, if you're familiar with. I did a Shacharonach, a Shemishpat. And then I attempted to move ahead because I wanted to get back to my home where my family was there. And the gentleman just attempted, not just one, but four or five, attempted to block my ability to move forward. And since I'm learning Bava Kama this year, good, I'm learning Bava Kama. So I realize there's a notion called Adam Mu'ad Ha'ilam, Ben Shege, Ben Mezid, Ben Enes, Ben Ratzon. So I had to contain myself. But in general, a lot of the behavior that my Balabatma saw was really lacking boundaries, and even though it came from B'nai Yeshiva, B'nai Torah, and again, we have a principle, the ends don't justify the means. So even though the ends clearly were L'shem Shamayim, L'shem Simcha, but the means also have to be appropriate in order for it to be action which is done by B'nai Torah. And I'm going to give you two Mekoros. One is in Sweet Pasha and Shemini, and I'll read a Koyakar to you. The Torah describes the death of Nadav Aviyu. At the height of the consecration of the Mishkan, the Chanubis HaMishkan, so Chazal say that they went ahead, Paragyut Pasagal, Vayichu b'nei Aron Nadav Aviyu Ish Machtoso, they took their pans, Vayidu b'nei Eish, Vayasimu Olah Ketoros, Vayakrivu, Lefnei Hashem Eish Zora, Asher Lotzim Osam. The simple Pshad in the Pasuk, what did they do? They brought before Hashem Eish Zora, which translated is a foreign fire, but the critical four words, Asher lo tziva osam, they were not commanded. Even though in general, the halacha is, it says in Perek Aleph of Vayikra, that the Bnei Aaron are supposed to put Eish ala mizbeach, here they were not commanded to do so, and it says, Vayidu b'hem Eish, they were not commanded, and as a result, the Torah says a bit later, Vateitze Eish m'lefnei Hashem v'atochal osam, v'yomusu l'bnei Hashem. They were consumed by fire that came down from heaven, and they died. The Torah does not really specify what was the chet. So Chazal had a field day, both in the Medrash, Rashi as well. Rashi says here, "Kolsa Gemara in Erevin on the Kibbol, Lo Mesa b'vnei Aaron Ela Yishahoru Halacha b'vnei Moshe Rabbeinu Rabba." They passed in the Shaila in the presence of their Rebbe. That's why they died. What a severe punishment for Hora Halacha b'vnei Rabba. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, a second reason: Shtui Yai Nichsil LeMikdash. They entered the Mikdash in a state of intoxication. And the Raya Rashi brings is from the Sukkim right after that. The Torah tells us, Miyad after this, Yayin b'shekel al teish b'vachem elo amoy, that a Kohen is not allowed to drink wine and to become intoxicated when he comes into Ol Moed to do the avoda below Samusa, otherwise he's going to die. The Kleyokar over here brings many, many other explanations. I'll just mention a few of them. One is they were lacking the begodim, the proper begodim, namely the meal. One is they never married, didn't have children. And he gives one or two other explanations, and he brings a raya for each of these explanations from Sukkim that are found in the context of these of the Pesukim that I mentioned to you, and that's how the Kaliyaki understands it. But one of the elements that he mentions is this idea of Shtuya Yayin, Nichsu the Mikdash, they enter the Mikdash in a state of intoxication. And let me just perhaps for a moment or two focus on that. And that's also a very significant issue. The Torah tells us that a Kohen who works in the Beis HaMikdash who allows the influence of alcohol is Chayim Misa. As a matter of fact, there's even a Shaila in Halacha when he can drink alcohol when he's not working in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pesukim talk about it. And the reason I'm talking about it is because Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim, a Kohen cannot be Shikr when he gives Birchas Kohanim because it's likened to an Avodah. Pasuk says here, "Ulahabdu ben Hakodesh ben Hakol ben Atamim ben Atohar," and a Talmid Chacham cannot even teach Torah while he's under the influence of alcohol. Rabbi Levinsohn Shlita. So every Purim, this Purim, I did not visit him because the Purim was on Friday. Erev Shabbos is far from me, but usually I visit him on Purim, and he tells me always, David, I drank Revius of Yain, I can't pass in a Shaila," which is the true the halacha as well. As a matter of fact, even davening, the Gemara says that you can't daven with the influence of alcohol. The Gemara has in brachas. The Gemara tells the story over here of Chana. Do you remember? Eli HaKohen suspected Chana of being drunk, and he said to her, this is in Shmuel Aleph, Sukkim Aleph, and the Perek Aleph rather of Shmuel Aleph, Pasuk Gedal to be specific, Ad Masai Tishtakorin HaSirius Yenich Mi'aloich. That he tells her, he thought she was drunk. He says to her, how long are you going to be drunk? Remove the wine from yourself. So she answers, no, chas v'shalom. Al titin asamasol l'vnei bas b'liyal. Don't deem your maidservant to be a base woman. The word b'liyal has a negative connotation. You know, the word b'liyal means b'li'ol. So Chazal said, Pesuk took it in the same Dvarim as well. But Chazal see this as providing the basis for comparison between davening after drinking and like Avodah Zarah. And his suspicion of her being drunk is tantamount to suspecting of Avodah Zarah. So what do we see? The davening after drinking is a very serious avera, a serious offense. The Gemara discusses in Erevin what level of drunkenness would pass on a person from davening. Shechus HaShonach, Shechus HaShalot. Whatever the case is, that we see that there are times when drinking wine is asur, and I've given you a number of examples, but there are other times when drinking wine is a mitzvah, such as Simchas Yom Tov. Gemara says, Ein Simcha Elabasa V'yayin. Daf is supposed to drink wine. I'm very makbid to drink wine on Yom Tov, every day of Yom Tov, and every day of Chol HaMoed. Because that's all it's a din da'aisa of drinking wine. Okay, it's true, I drink 3.4% alcohol, which you obviously would not approve of. But it's wine, and I drink a revius of it, and that's a kind of mitzvah da'aisa. And Pesach, of course, is also a mitzvah to drink dal kosos of yayin that you know. And the fact of the matter is that even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it's still mechuyav to drink dal kosos of yayin, even though the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov could have been fulfilled with the korban shlamim that was sacrificed. Because ain't simcha ela bevas of yayin. Today we don't have shami simcha, we don't have shlamim, we can't have no Beis HaMikdash, we can't bring the korban, but we can and should in the kind of mitzvah with wine. So what do you see? There are two diametrically opposed positions regarding wine. There are times when wine is a necessary vehicle in Avodas Hashem, it's a matech to Avodas Hashem, and the other time when it's totally invalidated. And there are two ways you have to serve Hashem. And that's the answer why sometimes yes, sometimes no. The answer is because there's a dialectic in Avodas Hashem. One is to Ava, and one is to Yira. Allah for Hashem wants us to be as close as possible, let me just finish this point, close as possible to Him. And the fear of Hashem, we have to be, on the one hand, we have to recoil, we have to recognize whom we are. We're obviously little puttian men. We are small and insignificant. On the other hand, we have an obligation to have Ava Hashem to try to come closer and closer. So if one becomes intoxicated, maybe it produces a feeling of Ava Hashem, which we're pleased to have on Yom Tov, and yet It also reduces my inhibitions, will be inappropriate in the Beis Hamikdash because it detracts from the required feeling of Yiras Hashem. So this is a very subtle, very, very nuanced and very subtle kind of dialectic. And a Ben Torah has to understand that dialectic. I'll just give you a few other examples of my man before both of you speak. And that is Moshe Rabbeinu, if you remember, in the Shmos Paragimel, that this is Chazal Si, and Moshe's behavior. Hashem reveals himself to him at the Sneh. And the Pasuk says, Vayaster Moshe Pono. Moshe hid his face from Hashem. Because of that, Chazal say, he was zochet to Kikaron or Pono, the Kisisa. Moshe's face was glistening. The radiance of the Shekhinah. On the other hand, Hashem tells Moshe that when he wanted to show Moshe his glory, Moshe was not interested, namely at the Sneh. And now at one point in Kisisa, Moshe wants to see Hashem's glory. I'm not going to show it to you. So here we see that even great leaders, including Moshe Rabbeinu, we have actually a tensile balance between Ava and Yira. I'll get to this a bit further to discuss the matter to show you how nuanced things are and how difficult they are for all of us to be Mekayim this as well. Just give you two other examples. One is Shemoneh Esrei. You see again Ava V'Yira. The Gemara says in Yevamos that Ein Lav Lamata V'Libo Lamala. When a person actually davens, your eyes should face downwards towards the Mikdash, as it were, that's below, but your heart should feel like you're standing in the Kodesh Kadoshim before Hashem is Barah. It means you have to have both. You have to have the element of getting close as well as the element of distance. And therefore, that's why a person who's under the influence of wine cannot daven, because even though he feels close to Hashem, you won't feel the distance from Hashem. And the same thing applies also to An Yom Tov and many other occasions as well. Let me just sum it up with the following. There's a song that people often sing. Mitzvah Gedola, Lios, V'Simcha Tami. I'm not familiar with the marker for that, Bichlal. They told me it's from Rav Nachman of Breslov. I think it's incorrect. There's no mitzvah to be constantly happy. There's a mitzvah to be Ovid Hashem through happiness, that's for sure. Then once you do Avodas Hashem through Simcha, if you do Hashem with Simcha, that's for sure. In Pashki Sava, the Torah tells us about all the calamities that happen to Klal Yisrael. Why? Tachas, Hashem lo avatas, Hashem lo kecha b'simcha, b'tub leibav, merov kol. But, as I said, serving Hashem has to be done with happiness. That's what the Pasuk says. Tachas Hashem lo avatata. Avodas Hashem has to be b'simcha. But, the Pasuk Kohelo says, l'schok amarti maholo, u'l'simcha mazo osa. I said of laughter, it is not. And of joy, what is it accomplished? You know, happiness, the Gemara tells us, happiness is not accompanied by a mitzvah, has no purpose. So only happiness associated with kiyum mitzvah brings us closer to Hashem. So even though people think that this pasuk mitzvah gedol liyos b'simcha tamid, it's wrong, incorrect, ain't true makor l'zeh. Even though people sing it all the time, people sing a lot of things that have no makor for it, because they never thought about it. One second. Before you speak, there are two others in front of you. So I'm just pointing out that it's true, there may be, there's a mitzvah to be happy, but only so we can serve Hashem properly. So we can, it's a means to an end, to avodas Hashem. Clearly, a person who's depressed, a person who's down, a person who's suffering from melancholia, so obviously he has a more difficult time serving Hashem. But it's not a mitzvah of his own. But rather, shall we say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah Emes, and we're able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, or shall we say, do it in Eretz Yisrael as we are doing here in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, there's no question that that is something which is a means to an end. And there's a lot to say about this topic, but okay, there are several comments. I just hope the comments will be of a brief nature, even though it's true that I tend to be lengthy. But go ahead, start.
Grape juice.
Okay, but that's a halachic issue, which Rav Soloveitchik held, that towards the end of his life, he drank grape juice. So obviously, he felt he could kind of mitzvah of simcha with grape juice as well. And I'll tell you honestly, I drink grape juice all the time. But there's no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. So therefore, I can make kiddush on grape juice on Shabbos. It's a mitzvah of onik Shabbos. And grape juice gives me onik. And wine just gives me usually a headache. Unless it's some other very special kind of, what they call it? Moscato wine? I have to like that. It has some buzz attached to it. I think there's a buzz wine. I forgot what they call it.
Bardura.
Yes, thank you. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Please avail yourself of the, what do they call this? The vittles. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Is ein simcha ella basar v'yayin supposed to be taken literally? And if so, what do you think about vegetarians?
Okay, so this needs a lot of discussion. They claim Rav Kook, Zatzal, was a vegetarian.
I'm going
to
shut
up. No, it's fine. It's a good question. It's a valid question. They claim Rav Kook was a vegetarian. That's not my understanding. It's true that probably he did. I'll get to you. Don't worry, I saw you. They claim he was a vegetarian, but I heard on Yom Tov he was not. On Yom Tov he ate meat. Even though we're not mekayem the d'oraisa meat today. But we are mekayem it by drinking wine. And I said I drink a Rebbe's wine on Yom Tov, and on Chol HaMoed, I'm not going to do. The whole vegetarian issue, it's kedai for you to learn the Ababanel, and also the pasuk in Daniel, you're probably familiar with Pasuk Bag HaMelech. Daniel, of course, had to be worried about kashrus, and not just Daniel, as in the Chemda, and the like people who work in the employ of a non-Jewish king or non-Jewish governmental officials, and they encounter these issues. So the question is, there, of course, vegetarianism is very much in place. My father, Rishon, I think I mentioned this before, he went to a vegetarian restaurant. This is in the 40s in New York City. There were no restaurants. No kosher restaurant didn't exist. And he would eat salads and cold plates and things of that sort. I remember when we started going to yeshiva, he's paying for our yeshiva education, but we become very frum. And then we told him that he is clearly not eating kosher. So he pays for education to become B'nai Torah. And then by acquiring education, at least we thought we acquired education, we're Amarasin, ignoramuses. We tell him that he is eating non-kosher. It's not true. I asked later on the big Rosh Hashiva, he told me, first of all, you are lacking in Kibbut Av Ha'Em and a few other Yisurim you violate along the way. And but there's no, your father was not in violation of any Yisur whatsoever because he had a kosher place. So vegetarianism itself, I don't know if it's an ideal to be a vegetarian or not an ideal. Clearly meat is not always so healthy, that is true. That's what you're referring to. There's no question there's a lot of health elements involved in eating meat, especially consuming massive amounts of meat. You know, the, what do they call it, the Achila Gasa, the Papagayo, the incentive of learning Gemara. This is also part of everything. Everyone, you have a world that's confused and mixed up and confounded. That's what I'm trying to get across. The message that you need a lot, there's a lot of nuancing involved in becoming a Ben Torah. Okay, go ahead, yes.
If we are always at least in some capacity serving Hashem, then shouldn't we always be the Simcha?
That is basically what I'm trying to get across. But you have to make sure that it's for the purpose of Avodas Hashem. That's your interest. As opposed to just walking around, jumping around in a merry kind of way. I mean, these people on Purim, who were gallivanting and involved in all types of behavior that clearly had no boundaries, and they were drunk, and they blocked traffic, and do all the kinds of things as well. That's not a Ben Torah. That's someone who is obviously unable to control and unable to direct his simcha in the proper kind of way, and he is unfortunately being Michal Shem Shemaim. He's over a few assumed the rice along the way, and clearly he's not a Ben Torah. He has no shaykhus to Ben Torah, not even a reich of Ben Torah. As I'm trying to get across this idea, which unfortunately most people are not going to accept because they're not Ben Torah, so it's not their fault. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Does that mean that every simcha needs to be for a purpose of serving Hashem, or can there be times where let's say somebody makes like a joke to you and it makes you in your sameach and nothing to do with your...
Listen, that's for psychological reasons. I understand. You want, but the same mitzvah gedolah, the yos b'simcha tamid, maybe if they want to, a person is down. So then you want like a joke. You know that the person should be a sameach individual. That's also a mitzvah. To be a mechazik, a person is a mitzvah, a pasuk in chumash. When the person is down, you have to try your best to be mechazik the individual. Okay, I'm just going further in this same vein, and now I'm going to say over what I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and I found it in this very beautiful sefer called Derech Rosh Hashem. And so, a sefer that I recommend highly.
On Amazon.
It's on Amazon, that's what I heard from Sally. And others, I hope it's much cheaper on Amazon than it is when they're selling it out there. But it's a very good safer, not because I know the author, no. Because people have told me, and many, many people have sent me horrors in the safer. Recently, I think I can quote him, because he told me, the Mashgiach of Ner Yisrael, Rabbi Weisbord, called me regarding some Talmidim who applied to Ner Yisrael. He wanted to know about them. And then he told me, Rabbi David, I have the safer, Darash Yosef, right next to my night table. I read it once a week on the Pasha. It's a fantastic safer. I was astounded by that comment. I don't think I'm worthy of it. But it's not having to do with me. It's Rabbi Soloveitchik, of course. He does not require any haskama. But anyway, let me just tell you what the Rav said. Unbelievable you saw it in this week's Pasha, which is very relevant to the topic that I'm discussing right now. Just a little bit of background. There are two questions that the Rav asked regarding the death of another Rav. Why were they punished so swiftly? And secondly, what was their Avera? I mentioned to you the Medrash, whole series of Averas that the Medrash speaks about. We know that Hashem generally is ma'arichach, Hashem is slow to anger with ordinary human beings. And that's the divine attribute of rachamim. And people can do tshuva. But somehow when Hashem beats out din or emes, the punishment is meted out very swiftly. And almost, I would say, retribution is immediate. If you remember the Cheta Ego, what does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? He comes down, he sees Klal Yisrael involved in the Cheta Ego. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Vayisi Yisrael Mazeh, V'yam Kshayor, what are they? A hard-necked, stiff-necked people. V'yatar Anichuli, leave me alone. V'yichar Pivohem V'achaleim, let my anger wax hot against them. V'yaseh Uzchav V'goy Godol, I'll make of you a great nation, I'll destroy Klal Yisrael, and make of you a great nation. That's what Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Wow. What's the language? V'yatoha nichali. The moment you, Moshe Rabbeinu, leave the scene, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Now, the door was left open for Moshe Rabbeinu to intercede on their behalf, which is what he did, Moshe Rabbeinu, right away. And thank God, Hashem then subsequently relents, succumbs to Moshe Rabbeinu's importuning. And as a result, there's room for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. Another example. Moshe does not circumcise his second son Gershom, beginning of Shemos. Hashem tells him, let Shub Mitzrayim, ki mesu ko anoshim anbakshim mislav shecha, go back to Egypt. Those who seek your life are dead. And furthermore, when you go back to Egypt, rei kol anmosim v'shasamtim yadecha, look at all the miracles I put into your hand. Vayi baderach mamalon, on the way, in the hotel, vayi kesheyu Hashem, Hashem encounters him, vayi bakish habisa, he wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. This is before Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to appear before Paro, to demand the release of Klal Yisrael. Moshe was like an ordinary person. So that point, Hashem was slow to anger. But the moment Moshe Rabbeinu becomes the Manig Yisrael, he becomes the charismatic leader of Klal Yisrael, now if he fails to comply with the divine command, that's an offense, subject to immediate punishment. What did Chazal say? The greater the person, so then he has a greater achrayus. Just like his Yitzhahara is greater, he also has a greater achrayus. And Hashem is much quicker to punish such an individual. The Haftorah of this week's Parsha of Shemini is a famous Haftorah. The Torah speaks about Uzzah, the son of Aminadab. He takes hold of the Aron HaKodesh that contained the Luchos. He died instantly. And what happened as well in this week's Parsha? That's the reason why we read that Haftorah, because what's the analogy, what's the connection to this week's Parsha? Who died immediately? Nadab Avihu, the two children of Aaron. And they were not ordinary individuals. He showed me this morning, Ari, showed me the Rashi, he mentions it a few times, just 1 second, Abtaim. It's going to be like a prime priest commits Hashem. So anyway, had they been two ordinary individuals, they would have been given the chance to do tshuva. But because they were great individuals, another Avihu, Rashi calls them miyudov shomakom. They were those that were very close to Hashem's barach. They were held to a higher standard. Those, there's a difference between how Hashem relates to the misbehavior of a person who's an ordinary person, as well as opposed to someone who's chosen for a divine mission. The responsibility, the achrayus, is much greater than that individual. Yes. Nisayon for? I don't see that in the Pesukim. That's a chiddush what you're saying. Even though the Pesukim don't say much, you are correct in that respect as well. But as I mentioned to you, when you, Chazal, as I said at the very beginning of the shir, they, and the Kli Yagra quotes a whole series of reasons, based on Medrash mostly. I'll get to that maybe a little bit later. I think it's the common denominator to all these reasons I heard from my Rebbe. I'm going to miss some albums that's out. I'll mention that later on. But the pasuk says, why did they die? Vayakrivu l'vnei Hashem eis zara asher lo tziva osam. Those are the four words. He showed me, Ari, this morning, a girsa in Vashi, that that which I, many Rishonim say this. I have a Xerox number of Rishonim over here. They said that's the reason for the Chiyam Isa. The reason the Chiyam Isa was based on the fact they did something not commanded by Hashem. So what does that mean? So Chazal say they were insolent regarding Moshe Aaron. They said, Mosra Yamusu Askenim Halalu. One of these old men going to die so we can assume leadership. I was going to use another language, but I didn't. Baruch Hashem. And others say they were Mohi Halachim Rabbim. I quoted before the Rashi. They passed from the Shai the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Another opinion said they drank wine, became intoxicated. But Rasul Meshik noted these four words, Asher Lo Tzivo Son. Here they're wearing their big dikuna. They're overcome by ecstasy. All the people on Purim who do what they do, I hope, I assume they're overcome by ecstasy. The ecstasy of Avodas Hashem, to be besimcha. And of course, the mitzvah of Ad Lo Yada. I think I told you, you know how I'm becoming the mitzvah of Ad Lo Yada? Many people think I get drunk on Purim. Many people don't. It is totally not true. I found the marshal in Babetzia that called him on base. I've been following you for many, many years. The Rashi says, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to be Mishane, the Gemara says, so a Talmud Chacham is allowed to be Mishane Bipuraya. Rashi and Tosfos have one Pshat Bipuraya, and the Rashi has a different Pshat. Puraya refers to Purim. Like the Gemara of Azayu and Beis, Chayim Adam Bipsume, Bipuraya, Adlo Yoda, twice in Shas. Puraya here and Puraya there. The Rashi explains, what does it mean? A Talmud Chacham is allowed to pretend he's holding by Adlo Yoda, even though he's not. And that's what I do. So when you saw me the other day, it was all pretense. I do a pretty good job. I've been doing it for years, for decades.
That's a riot at the Rosh Hashanah.
She made it too easy for her there.
She made that one up.
We were all thinking that one.
One second. So my point being, let me just go back to this. So they were overcome by ecstasy, not about you. They had to express their emotions. The Ketores that they burned was identical to that which their father Aaron had offered. But there's one distinction. The pasuk says, "Vayas Aaron melamed shaloshina." He didn't change one iota what Hashem told him. They did an action that Hashem didn't command. So basically, essentially, and here's how Rashi Soloveitchik articulated this yisod. And this is really the most important, according to my humble opinion, this yisod that's found in the Parsha Shemini and the Sefer Darash Yosef is one of the most fundamental yisod of Sukkot Torah Kula. The yisod in Hashkafa, the yisod in our approach to Avodas Hashem, said the Rav. I'm just quoting Rashi Soloveitchik, the Chassad Divracha. He said, there are two types of Avodas Hashem. One he called ceremonial, or he used a different language I'll get to in a moment, namely a Torah approach, ceremonial approach, or a pagan approach versus a Torah approach versus Avodas Hashem, a religious experience. And here's what he went on to say, let me just explain it to you, and then I'll apply it. Essentially, what does a mitzvah do? A mitzvah is not only a physical performance. We take a lulav, we take an esrog, we eat matzah, and the like. But a mitzvah also has to be experiential. There's the maisa mitzvah and the kima mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah is eating matzah. Eating a kezayis of matzah in the proper amount of time, if they're achilas pras, between 2 and 9 minutes. However, the kima mitzvah is what? Is the joy that we have when we do a mitzvah. That's what we mentioned in the pasuk earlier. Tachas asher alvatas Hashem alokecha b'simcha v'tuv lev merov kol. Why do I fast on Yom Kippur? Because Hashem told me to fast. However, as a result of fasting, I feel as if I've underwent a catharsis. Essentially, what's happening is there's an ecstatic, illuminating experience that transformed my personality. I'm a different person. I've been transformed on Yom Kippur. I've been elevated considerably. So there are two ways to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is the Torah approach, and one is what Rav Soloveitchik called the pagan approach. Namely, the key word is tzivui, tzav Hashem. Why do I perform a mitzvah? I surrender to the will of Hashem. So that's how I begin being mekayem the mitzvah. Namely, the Torah says, Ba'er tochlu matzos, I eat matzah. Matzah can sometimes be jejun, tasteless, and insipid. Doesn't necessarily have to be the most exciting kind of food. I don't just mention the point I'm trying to get across. But ultimately, if a person recognizes what he has done and fulfilled the mitzvah of Hashem is Barach, so that becomes a profound spiritual experience. Tefillah. Why do I get up in the morning for my snug blankets? The Mishnah Berurah describes this already at the beginning of Mishnah Berurah, the tefillah. Why? Because Hashem told me I have to daven. So it's obligatory. It's an act that's compelling. It has rigid requirements. Zman tefillah and the like. And especially in the winter time, I have to venture out in this cold. Here I am, snug, very comfortable in my blankets. Why should I get up, for goodness sakes? And the answer is because there's a tzivui Hashem. But once I begin to daven, hopefully, my tefillah will become a very intimate kind of communion with Hashem as well. And I'll feel elevated by it. Same with reference to matzah, same with reference to Yom Kippur, same with reference to all the, shall we say, mitzvahs. There's a Mishnah in Sukkah, and after Memches, the famous Mishnah we learned the last year, that at Shmini Atzeres, you're supposed to remove the furniture from the Sukkah at Shmini Atzeres in order to demonstrate the mitzvah is no longer operative. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, made Havdalah over beer at the end of Pesach. I always was wondering, how did he get that beer? Motzei Pesach. How was that accomplished? I don't have the answer to that question, but that's what it says in Ma'aseh Rav, in the Hadamah to the Vilna Gaon, that it made Havdalah over beer to demonstrate, what is my motivation for not eating chametz? because Hashem is brought told me not to eat chametz. So I'm trying to show you that. How do we begin? What's the Torah approach? First, we begin with the Tzivui Hashem. Hashem Kishrom and Sazim Tzivonu, the Maisa Mitzvah, and then we ultimately come, hopefully, to the Kiyum Mitzvah, the inner joy that a Jew should have to being able to be Eved Hashem. What is the pagan approach? Just the opposite. It begins with excitement, begins with ecstasy, begins with ecstasy, Tarte Mashma. I see you holding. And culminates, unfortunately, and often in sin and disillusionment. The parallels approach of the modern world. A person uses drugs or alcohol in order to create an artificial feeling of euphoria, which masks one actual life situation of disappointment and futility. Many, many people, unfortunately, on Purim, use Purim as a means of what? Of becoming drunk. Why? Because they want to be in that state. Not because they're involved in any kind of avodas Hashem. Not because they're seeing that kind of simcha. It's simply a means to an end, and unfortunately the end is not the proper end of avodas Hashem. That's what I'm talking about, becoming a ben Teira, which requires enormous amount of ability to navigate shoals and to see things and to distinguish between A and B, between the Torah approach and the pagan approach. Rav Soloveitchik gave a number of examples. Korach. He gave the example of Korach. He confused the pagan or the ceremonial with Hashem's command. For example, Rashi quotes in Chumash, Korach had two questions of Moshe Rabbeinu. One, a person is wearing a baguette that's made entirely of tcheles. So now the question is it chayav b'tzitzis? A whole baguette of tcheles, the entire baguette is tcheles. Second question of Rashi, Bayis Mali Svorim is the Chayim Mezuzah. These are two questions that Rashi asks. So when Moshe said yes to both questions, what did Korach do? He mocked Moshe Rabbeinu. He made, as they say in Yiddish, Oshem Blota of Moshe Rabbeinu. He made fun of him. Why? Because Korach, speaking from a pure rational kind of perspective, I have a Talish and Kula Tcheles, why should I be Chayim in Tzitzis? A Bayis Mali Svorim. What's the whole point of the Mezuzah? The whole point of the Mezuzah is Shomer Dasos Yisrael, Hashem guards, Hashem is the Hashgach, Hashem is Barach, I have a whole house of Svarim. What do I need it for? Because he was focused on the ceremonial aspect of the mitzvah, but that is not the most important aspect of the mitzvah, which is the Tzivu of Hashem. And that was the error that Korach made. Similarly, this is Ibn Ezra, that's all that you quoted. What's the distinction between the Egel Azov and the Mishkan? Why is there a difference? Mishkan had also all kinds of cherubs running around. I don't know if they were running around, but the Kruvin, correct, of the Aron HaKodesh, and all kinds of other things. The answer is that, and this is what I stress in Parsha Mekudei, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. The entire Mishkan was a product of the Tziva Hashem. Each act of the Mishkan's construction was accompanied by a phrase, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. You know how many times it says Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe in Mekudei? Many, many times. Masha'enken, the Egel Azor, was an act of idolatry. Why? Because Hashem did not order its construction. I want to give you one of the rayas that I heard from a Rebbe of mine. I don't think I ever mentioned this Rebbe. He was my Masada Kedusha. Hagoyim Rabbeinu Bornstein, Zechazad Lebracha. He learned by the Brisk Rav. According to Harav Rakefer, he may have been the top Talmud of the Brisk Rav. He was a Shiva and Wadiu, Yeshiva University, a genius, an absolute Ilu Shekalo. People didn't appreciate him. He wasn't charismatic. He was just a genius. Hagoyim, the Nukala Torah Kula. People only like charisma. So he can hear a charismatic Rebbe, who's an Amoritz, the Isa, and the Abomin. But he gets more, somehow, more significance than the Goyim Kalat Torah Kula, who's not charismatic. That's the way the world is today. That's the kind of world that you're living in. Ta! I'm on this. Never. I have a chamonis on me. And a whole generation. Not you, because you are able to make the distinctions. But not everyone. I'm going to finish my point. So this Rebbe told me the following many years ago. In 1968, I heard this from him. I'll never forget it. I've never said this before in this context. Meraglim. What was the Cheder Meraglim? Anybody know? It's a Sifrei, he said. You are correct. No doubt. Ain't Shum Sovi, Lashon Hara, Eretz Yisrael. Which is not a good thing. But if you look in Dvarim, when the Torah repeats the Cheder Meraglim, the Pasuk says, Vatikuvut Eilai Kulchem. They all came to Moshe Rabbeinu Batomu. Nishlacha Anoshim Lufaneinu, V'yachru Lono Es Haaretz, V'yashiva Asur HaDavar, etc., etc. By the way, there's a steer between that, the way the Torah records it in Dvarim, and then Shlach, the Parsha Babibur, because what does it say in Shlach? Hashem says Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, go send spies. V'yasur v'aseretz kanan. It wasn't saying dvarim. V'atikul v'nalai kulcha. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not about stira. We showed you. I talked about it. Chazal discussed it, but there's a Rashi. V'atikul v'nalai kulcha says Rashi. Yelodim doichim skenim. Skenim doichim yelodim. Everyone was pushing each other. You know what it reminds me of? The first time I came to Eretz Yisrael, and I wasn't able, unfortunately, I think I told you the story already, I had been driving in Chutz Haaretz for many, many years, and I had to take the test, and I failed the test. I failed the driving test. You hear this? I, who's obviously a fantastic driver, with expertise, and I don't drive ruthlessly or recklessly, because of Dina Machus Adina, I failed the test. I'll even tell you the story about that. Let me get back to a quick story. I get into the car. There are three other people in the car at the same time as I am taking the test. I found it to be a little unprofessional. But you can't say anything around here. So I kept my mouth quiet. And the three other people in the car, they drove, according to my humble opinion, left a lot to be desired. They all passed. And I failed. So I wanted to find out, why did I fail? I think you heard the story. I wanted to find out what I failed. So I had no way. How do I find that out? They don't tell you. Shouldn't they tell you why you failed? In a so-called democratic kind of country? He said, I don't have to tell you anything. That's what the Bokhain told me. So luckily, I worked. I was a Raman in Hezda Yeshiva. Yeshivat Or Etzion, Rav Chaim Drukin, Shashem Yarat Yomov. And so the Menahel of the high school there happens to be a friend of the Sar HaTachbura, of the Minister of Transportation. They learned together in Hebron, and they served in the army together. So I go to him, Rabbi Yaakov Nativ, Zechatzayim Zebrocha. I said, Rabbi Yaakov, I said, Azobi. And he said, Lama Nechshaldi, Bam Yuchanazem. Why did I fail this test? So he says, Rabbi David, Chakei Kamat Akob, and he had Kasher of the Sar HaTachbura. I'll call the Minister of Transportation. Uchaveshali. In 5 minutes, he has the Minister of Transportation of the State of Israel on the phone. I was astounded by that, too. Trust me. Imagine trying to get, I don't know, forget about Trump, but trying to get Pompey. Is that the Secretary of State?
Pompeo.
What's his name?
Mike
Pompeo. Trying to get him on the telephone. You'd be trying for about 5 years. He gets on the phone, and I speak to him. I said, quote, Adon Hassar. I spoke very respectfully to him. I said, Achshav akachti nifkani higat, v'nichshalti. Lama. So he says, oh, David, tell me come to the code in the Varerate. Give me a few minutes and I'll check it out. 5 minutes later, he calls me up. Hasibashi nechshalta. You know why you failed? Shenahata bizirut yoter midai. You drove too carefully. That's a chisar in this country. You drive too carefully. You have to drive like a maniac, like someone who's mituraf, someone who's off his rocker, someone who's under the influence. Otherwise, you can't pass the test.
You mean slowly.
Correct.
In America also?
No.
Yeah, in America also you can drive too slowly.
I don't mean like the, I don't mean to be chas v'shalom misogynist over here, but sometimes you have...
Homies.
Like, I didn't say it. On a highway where the speed limit is 100 kilometers an hour, in the middle lane, dodging from place to place, I don't drive like that, trust me. So back here, in the Meraglim story, so it says that Yolodim Dechim Skenim, Skenim Dechim Yolodim. They're pushing each other. So the first time, I had to get on a bus. My wife says to me, Shlita, she always says to me, you know, it's good for you to go on a bus once in a while. You'll see how the, quote unquote, how the plebeians live. So my wife always tells me. Because you always drive. It's true. Very rarely do I go on a bus. Anyway, so I get on a bus. I'm there to go to the yeshiva, two buses I had to take. And I'm there the first one, very polite down line. And before I know it, a number of people gather. About a half hour later, the bus comes. I didn't get on the bus! Why? The pushing that went on over there, in my life, I never saw anything like it. So I said to myself, wow, this is, I'm waiting politely. A good American, a nice American, a polite American, Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah. And even all kinds of quote-unquote from people, I wouldn't know if they're from or not, but they seem to wear from headgear. But as I said, from Mickey Marks, the Mankala Bar Yeshiva, who unfortunately was killed in a terrorist attack a number of years ago, he used to say, Lo HaKov HaKoveya, the hat does not establish anything, V'lo HaMe'il Mo'il, and the long coat doesn't do anything, and even a goat has a beard. He said in Hebrew, but... So I couldn't believe what was going on. So I waited another half hour. You think I didn't get out of the bus? I got on the bus. I followed the meeting of my uncle. What's the meeting of my uncle? No problem. I come from New York. We know it. I was on the bus number one. Maybe I'm welcome. It's a very sad state of affairs. So it says to Meraglim, that was the chet, according to my Rebbe. Talmud Bris Kolov. Yolodim Dachmim Skenim, Skenim Dachmim Yolodim. This one's pushing, that one's pushing. The mission per se may have been very well justified and well grounded and well founded. The Ramban discussed in Chumash, I assume, the Ramban. If you learn all the Ramban al Torah, if you finish high school, and then the Ramban al Torah, the Ramban Shlach, discussed it at great length. But the point being that the means don't justify the ends. So I want to just come back to that, the Pshatim that I mentioned before, namely, different explanation according to Kla Yakar. It would seem that the common denominator, this I heard from my Rebbe, I'm going to leave some alphas itself. I was linked to a lot of wonderful, outstanding rabbis who were themselves Gedolei Yisrael, and they were Talmidim of Gedolei Yisrael. And I essentially spent my life stalking them. Telling you the truth? Sometimes to the point where it was clear they were not necessarily too happy about this guy who's like their shadow. I thought it was great. I think I mentioned to you, I was Zeche for 8 years. I went to Rabbi Levitzel Shmuzin, Hashem Yarech Yomav. I went to his Shmuzin for 8 years in Yeshivat HaKotel, many years ago. There were five people at the Shmuz, Rabbi Tella, Rabbi Kimchi, so a few others. And then after the Shmuz was over, the Shmuz was pretty brief, it was a half hour Shmuz. And then from 10:30 to 12 o'clock, I'd be Malava him. He didn't ask me to be Malava him, to escort him, but I did it anyway. He would always ask me, Rav David, Ma'atah was said. I said, Ani Malava Sarah. I'm escorting the Rav. Harav lo zakuk l'shum livui, doesn't need any escort. I didn't care, I continued. And then I would ask him all my silly questions, tell him all my silly pshatim, all my silly chidushim, say all the things Rav Soloveitchik. I did it for 8 years. 10:30 to 12 o'clock. So back to Rav Nissim Albert Zatzel. He was my rabbi about 21 years, approximately. I used to go to shurim of his in the morning, Monday morning, Thursday morning, at Chumash. At nighttime, he said shurim. I heard from him on many, many proper shas, different mesechtes. There were four or five of us, some pretty hefty people who came to the shurim. Chaim Nilsen Shlita, who said a shir here a few weeks ago. Menachem Ganak Shlita, who did not say a shir here, but halabai, you should say a shir here. People are grand, massive Talmidei Chachamim. So my Rebbe said the following, that the common denominator of all the items mentioned by the Kli Yakar, namely, they didn't get married, they didn't have children, they passed the Shaila in front of their Rebbe, they took Eish that was not commanded to take, they were trying to artificially create a kind of ecstatic euphoria, and when a person tries to create Simcha artificially, that is something that is completely and totally not in sync with Avodas Hashem, which is the same Yisod I'm trying to get across over here. And the Yisod goes back to what I said before, namely that on Purim, when it's very, very difficult, here Chazal tells us there's an obligation of Ad Lo Yoda, but that obligation has to be grounded and founded upon a proper understanding of what I'm trying to do. And as I said to you, and I see this all the time with Gedolei Yisrael, I myself experienced it in my own home. The only problem is I was holding by Ad Lo Yoda, and so I didn't really see it. Towards the end of my Purim Suda, all my children were there, my grandchildren, and my son-in-law, he probably can report it to you. Rav Eli Rimler Shlita. So he was there, my other son-in-law, Rav W. Greenwald Shlita, and my children were there, and essentially my whole family. After they were Mekai Mad Lo Yoda, my wife told me they began to say Divrei Torah for about 2 hours. I already had gone to the arms of Morpheus. So I did not zeicha to hear it. But that's nichnas yayin yatsasot. The person is a real ben Torah, that's what he remembers. The humble Torah that he learned, as opposed to vandalism, as opposed to jumping up people's cars, as opposed to engaging in insane activities, as opposed to engaging in all types of other skullduggery behavior which leaves a lot to be desired. That is not a simple thing to come to. It requires a lot of, as I said, navigating shoals. And this is the whole yisod that I'm telling you over, One is a pagan approach of goyim, of people who are shikoyrim, people, I want to say, in your schus. I was very impressed by the night that I was here. I'm talking about Thursday night. It was a very beautiful chagiga. People danced beautifully, and I really had an aliyah. I felt a sense of esremimus. Why? Because not all of you, thank God, there were a number, but most of you were pretty good at that point in time. I don't know what happened the next day. I heard a number of interesting stories on the bus and here and there, all kinds of things. But that is the ideal that one should try to strive for. It is not a simple ideal to come to. Not at all. It requires many, many years of cultivating what it means to be a Ben Torah, and you're Baruch Hashem on the way. All of you are certainly on the way to becoming outstanding Ben Torah, and that's the only tefillah that I'm espousing all the time. The Gemara says the Baruch is the end of the first parak. You didn't get to that yet. You finished Megillah, now you'll get to Baruch. You start from the beginning, go all the way to Uktzin. And so a Rebbe is always worried about that his Talmidim should not be Magdiach Tafshilim Barabim. They shouldn't burn the Cholent. Burn the Cholent means act in a fashion which would not reflect well on the Rebbe. Because the Rebbe is trying to teach Torah, and trying to teach subtleties of Torah, nuances of Torah. But Baruch Hashem, this yeshiva, we have a lot of outstanding young men. Really, it's amazing to see the kind of progress you made from the beginning of the year till now. I personally don't even recognize some of you. I don't know if you're the same person that I saw at the beginning of the year. And that's a sign of a tremendous growth that Mitzvah Hashem, you should, just one more, you want to say, go ahead, question.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so that wine and alcohol can take out the inside of the person.
Right.
What are other ways that are equally as effective?
Wow. What's the answer to that question? There are other ways, obviously.
Yeah.
They can bring out a person who becomes davuk to Hashem is barach. The same thing will happen. A person through tefillah, that can happen. I've seen people, davuk, who are great tzaddikim. There's no question they reach that level of what I call his kashas agashmias. It's not I. Rishonim call it. I mean, the Yonin Brachas, and many Rishonim speaking about his kashas agashmias, where I can divest myself of my corporeal self, of my physical self. That's a very, very high madrega. I am so far from that. But there are ways of doing it. Or through Divan HaTorah, the people who are involved in the study of Torah, they say over many stories about the Chazon Ish, and they say about Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, Zechatzal de Bracha. He would prepare a shear, lock himself in a room, would not eat or drink for hours. He didn't even realize he wasn't eating or drinking. He was so focused on the sugya that he was learning, he was in a different room. That is the other approach. So one does not need to be artificially stimulated to get there, but one can be stimulated by Yeno Shel Torah, if I use such a lashon, it's a lashon of Chazal. By the wine of Torah. The wine of Torah is also very, very powerful. So one has to learn to make discriminating distinctions. As Chazal said, the Yerushalmi, the Gemara in Brachos, the main Das, Abdullah Minayim. That takes a long time to come to that level of Das. Many of you are already there. You have an appreciation of what that's all about. That's another reason to come to Shana Bet. You don't mind by being reciting with that. And even though it's mentioned today that there's a lot of parents don't always necessarily, and I, by the way, happen to be a member of the parent squad. Unlike some other rabbi in yeshiva who are much younger, I understand where parents are coming from. I understand it very well, because I'm also worried about the concerns that they have as well. As a grandfather, I'm worried about tachlis, about people making panasa. I'm very into people making panasa. You probably heard this from me a number of times. And you'll continue hearing it from me until you're blue in the face. I'm in favor of learning Torah, but you have to find a strategy where you can learn Torah and also ultimately make a panasa, and both can happen. There's no stira, no contradiction between the two. And there are many different venues and different formats that people have that one can go about, and I just missed that te-la-te. But whatever the case is, I think there are other ways of coming to it besides drinking out of control, but rather, if one comes to Yenu Shal Torah, to Dveikus and Hashem Yisbarach, and one can come to that, you know how? Through Baba Kama, and Akzeis, and Hashem Shmeitzer, and Rambam, as opposed to hearing, shall we say, Sipuri Safta, all kinds of wonderful stories, which are fine, I'm not against stories. But stories are for kindergarten children. And once you come to a Madrega, Bala Madrega, or into the Mahusa, what learning Torah is all about, you don't need that. And the Gemara has plenty of stories, by the way. And you ever learn Chas? You ever learn Chas? You'll see story after story after story. Amaroyim and Tanoim were able to be Mechayim Esim. Gracious. with their kedusha, the level of kedusha was so high, they were mechayim nesim. So we don't need to hear about this admor and that admor. We ourselves can become anashim kedusha. It's not so difficult. It just requires enormous effort and consistency. And Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, I'm giving you al tebrichas hedri kalavei necha. I give you a bracha, every one of you, and collectively should become massive talmidei chacham and halavai. And the Dolly Yisrael should come out from the government.